Hosanna, a Fellowship of Christians.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to invite you to stand up.
Yeah.
prophecies. God never stops working. You know, there are times I think we've all said, he's not up to anything. God's not really up to anything right now. At least it feels that way, doesn't it, sometimes? Does God ever stop working? I mean, seventh day of creation, right? He took a rest. He stopped. I don't know if he's stopped since, but I don't know. In John chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus replies, he says, my Father is always working, so am I. That's comforting to know. I mean, that God doesn't sleep. He's always working. He's always doing God work stuff, creating, healing, restoring, forgiving, reconciling, teaching, encouraging, God work stuff. And maybe even perhaps when God is quiet, when he's aloof, when he feels distant, maybe that's the deepest work that's going on at the time. We're going to sing a song, and we're going to play a video along with it. So, sorry for people tuning in at home. We don't have the license to show you the video, but you will hear the song. But as the video plays, just watch it and see what God would say to you. If there's an image, if there's an expression, if there's an action in that video that speaks to you, pay attention to that and ask God what it is about that that he wants to say to you. We'll see what God has to say.
Your love sustains me. But you love me. Jesus, have your
God the great artist. And we're the masterpiece. I don't know about you, but when I watched that video the first time, what struck me so much was not necessarily the first stage of restoration where he brings the original picture back to life. It was after the picture had been brought back to life and it had fallen over and had been, you know, messed up again. And the same diligence, the master restorer went about restoring it the first time, went right back at it again. Because he's always working. What he started in us, he will complete. He's not going to give up on anybody. He's not going to throw you in the trash. You might have your life together, and then it falls apart again, and he's going to go, he's still right at work in your life. He's never stopped. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God who works in you." We could just stop right there. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure." He's doing good things in you. He will continue to do good things. And you will do good things in his name because he is the one working in you. Does that sound pretty good?
Good morning, everyone. So those of you who are here in the building, would you stand up for a moment, turn around, look around, wave at each other, say hello out loud, even though you can't say hello close by. And those of you who are online, we're going to wave at you and tell you hello, and we're glad that you've joined us today. All right. And then you may be seated after you've done your little wave. Yeah. Thank you so much. It is great to be here today. And it looks like the rain is going to stop, and so maybe we'll have a nice day today. It's really, really good. I want to let you know that KidVenture will be resuming in-person classes for all children in grades K through 6 beginning on Sunday, May the 9th. We'll be practicing social distancing and wearing masks. So children should attend worship with their families at 9:30 first, and then they'll be dismissed to their class around 9:45. And they'll be meeting as one group in the Pathfinder's room. So those of you who are either here or online, if you have any questions, contact Kelly Kirk-Winsel. That's kelly@hosannalititz.org. And then Tony will continue his big picture Bible class after we have our message today. So if you've been a part of that, feel free to join him over there or join him online. And now, Tony is going to come and introduce our speaker for the day.
Thanks, Rick. First, I want to, I always do the second round of announcements. I just want to say thank you to everybody who's responded to the survey that we distributed a few weeks ago. We wanted to get your thoughts on what's, you know, the next phase of our transition through this pandemic would be. We're just now beginning to look and analyze those results. But the one thing that I want, both Joanne and I commented on, I noticed, as in most everything around here, boy, the opinions are very diverse. I mean, you guys are whole way across the spectrum on things. And we both looked at that and said, wow, these folks have done a tremendous job of honoring each other in the middle of all of this, when on most everything, there is such a wide variety of opinions. So, and a lot of things. Some of you are like, hey, yeah, I really like that we did it this way. And others are like, well, okay, it's not what I would have preferred, but I will honor the rest. And there was so many of those kind of opinions in the survey again. So just bless you for being the kind of awesome people you are. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty and try to sort that out here in the coming weeks and figure out what God would have us to do next. So please be in prayer for that. That's hard work. But we want to honor you in that process, which is why we ask you. Okay, get to introduce our speaker today. If there's anything we've learned over this past year, it's that the church is bigger than us. The world is bigger than us. Joanne is fond of saying, we see from where we stand. Well, once in a while, we need to see through the eyes of people who stand in other places. And that's why this year, we're being kind of intentional about occasionally bringing in another voice or two, so that you can hear from some other people. And thank you so well again for responding so well to our friend Vince Donicky, who was here back a month or two ago, and we have another guest kind of like that today, except not like that. Joanne and I met Ken Gates a number of years ago now. I don't know, 8-10 years ago. He was a student of Joanne's in a master's degree in leadership. I got to come in and assist and help out with that a little bit. Ken, in one sense, didn't need to be there. He was a supervisor of chaplains, is in the New Jersey State Penitentiary System. He already had a doctorate. He went back to school to get a master's degree in leadership because of partly who he is, and the humility and the curiosity and the passion to discover more what God has for him. And he was just one of those people that just stood out of the crowd a little bit. It's like one of the people that, as Joanne said this morning, just a beautiful soul that we connected to. We started a doctorate of theology program 3 years ago at Evangelical Seminary, where Joanne and I teach now, and Ken signed up, brought his best friend along, and I've been privileged over the last 3 years of working with him as a faculty mentor. And I just love this guy. He's pursuing his second doctorate. You get the point there? But you know that here at Hosanna, resume alone will never get you an invitation to come here and talk. We will invite those who know Jesus intimately, who have a sensitivity and a humility for what God is doing among his people. And the Reverend Dr. Kenneth Gates fits that description. He's here with his family. Ken, why don't you come and share what God is doing today? Thanks.
Everyone hear me?
Yeah.
I'm on the air. Amen. Amen. It's good to be here today to share what the Lord has been doing in my life and sharing with, I believe the Lord has for me to share with Hosanna this morning. I'm always thankful to stand before God's people and to declare a truth that God is all powerful. Amen. There we go. All right.
Sorry.
No, we're okay. Okay. But just to declare a truth that God is all powerful and that Jesus Christ is our way, truth, and life. And so I am indebted to Pastor Tony and Pastor Joanne for this opportunity. I've been in fellowship with them for a number of years, and their class has forever impacted my walk with Christ. Several years ago, John was teaching a class, Tony was assisting, and I was at a place in my journey where I was sensing God was calling me to do more, but didn't really know what that more meant or how it looked. And I had taken a couple classes. I had taken a class on Henry Nouwen several years ago on spiritual formation, so I was very aware and kind of drawn to that work naturally. But it was Pastor Joanne and Pastor Tony who really helped confirm that call and challenged me to really grow in that area of my walk. And so I've been seeking the Lord through contemplation. For a number of years, thanks to their guidance and mentorship. So I'm forever indebted to them for all they have meant to my family and I. And so I'm just thankful to be a student of theirs on this journey. And when I finished the program at Eastern, I felt like the work wasn't done, that there was still something I needed to learn from those two individuals. And so when I learned about the doctoral program at Evangelical, it was a natural thing for me to kind of go along and bring my best buddy along with me for this journey. So we had some lively discussions and we've had some lively classes. But it really, I am a product of their educational lineage. Tony started the program at Eastern, that organizational leadership program, years ago. And so I'm a product of his legacy and Joanne's legacy as well. So I stand here as a product of them as well. So it's thankful to, I'm just thankful to be here to share with them. Also, I want to acknowledge my family, my wife and my two girls, Taima, Chloe and Kayla. We've been traveling all weekend. We've had to bury a grandmother on yesterday. And so our plan initially was to come up yesterday morning and kind of enjoy this area. But unfortunately, we had to bury a grandmother, and so we had to make a pit stop in Baltimore, Maryland, and share with family. But here we are, and so we're thankful for them and their willingness to adapt and their willingness to forgo swimming in the pool. And so we have to make it up for them on our way home. Amen?
Amen.
I want to share for a few moments from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I titled this message, The Best is Yet to Come. The Best is Yet to Come. And I believe it goes along with your theme for the year, Living Resurrection. And the story that we will find today as we read this passage of story, I believe, talks about how to live in resurrection, even though this narrative takes place before resurrection. But it talks about how to live with Christ, how to walk with Christ, in resurrection. And there's some decisions that both Peter and his friends make as they make a commitment to walk with Christ. And when you're walking with Christ, you're walking in resurrection. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for more moments with you as we share in your word. I pray, Lord, that for these few moments that we can focus on you, that all distractions will be limited, that we can concentrate on the words and your word, oh God. So speak to us, we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Also want to say thank God for our praise team this morning, for the worship team who led us in worship. I was really touched by the worship, especially that video that was shown. It was really very impactful. So I want to say thank you to the worship team and to all those who had a part, who met us at the door and had a part in helping me get adjusted today. I want to say thank you for all those persons. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It reads, Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to pull out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked all day and night, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let the nets down. When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to help them. And they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Amen. The best is yet to come. I believe that's true in 2021, that the best is yet to come. Not too long ago, I came across a survey which suggested that Americans are becoming more and more pessimistic about the future. The findings in this particular study reveal that our country is undergoing a major paradigm shift in its values, in its customs and norms. And this shift had a direct impact on how people of faith are now approaching the future. And so the research suggested that people are losing hope. We are losing hope in our institutions. And I would dare to argue there are many who have lost hope in the church. People are losing hope because they do not see how they can overcome what they're going through. And 2020 has taught me a lot as we wrestle with this pandemic. And one of the things that I've learned that remain hopeful can be difficult when you have to go through something that has changed the way we live as we know it. When our faith has been tested to the place where we feel like there's nowhere else to go, it's hard to remain hopeful. When you've endured tragedy after tragedy that 2020 and the pandemic has brought upon us, it's hard to remain hopeful. On your journey, maybe you've gone through a dark night that has lasted longer than you've wanted to last. And it's hard to see the sunlight. It's hard to see daylight because darkness is all around you. It's hard to remain hopeful. When things don't go as well as you plan, when you have a map, when you plan things out, and you think, okay, I'm going to go from this point, to that point, and yet an unexpected situation comes that throws you off course. It's hard to remain hopeful. Have you been here before, Hosanna? Has that been your journey? Trying to remain hopeful, but yet not understanding how. When difficulties arose, when doors are closing your face, and despite knowing God's word, we all can quote scripture, amen? We know God's word. We go to church. We understand scripture. We can quote the promises of God. Yet there are those times when even those words of scripture don't bring the comfort we need. We feel hopeless. When people have turned their backs on you because you failed to live up to their expectations, and you wonder, what have I done? It's hard to remain hopeful. Have you been there before? When it's hard to see how God is going to move, and sometimes you have to say, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. How many of you have to say that this year to yourself? Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So if you've ever felt disappointed, if you ever felt like giving up, I come from New Jersey to give you a word of hope today. And the word I have today is this. We serve a God who specializes in providing hope when there is no hope. We serve a God who will answer our prayers. We serve a God who, when the path is unclear, will come down and show light and reveal the pathway for us. We serve a God who reminds us that our trials and tribulations are only temporary and part of a process of development because the best is yet to come. And that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps me motivated. That's what keeps me encouraged to keep on this journey, is that the best is yet to come. Because I serve Jesus. And he's promised to be with me always, even until the end of the world. It's to that promise and it's to that hope I cling, and I claim that the best is yet to come. So in our story today, we read about an encounter that Peter, James, and John has with Jesus. This encounter will become a transformational moment in their lives. But when we are first introduced to Peter, James, and John in Luke chapter 5, they are not disciples of Christ. They are not the same men who will one day preach the gospel in season and out. In Luke chapter 5, Peter, James, and John are hardworking fishermen trying to earn a living. The Bible informs us that when Jesus encounters these men, Peter is cleaning his boat after a hard day's work. And when Jesus gets into his boat, he tells him to pull off. He gives Peter a job. And let me stop right there for just a few moments. I've learned that God will meet you where you are. Think about it, as you read the story, look, Jesus shows up and meets Peter on Peter's job. Look, we don't have to go searching for God. God will reveal God's self to us. And so how do we respond when Christ shows up? And so in the story, Jesus meets Peter in his place of refuge and comfort. It's in those places where we are most comfortable where God will reveal God's self to us when we least expect it. And so as we read Luke chapter 5, this encounter between Jesus and Peter takes a unique turn. Because after Jesus is done preaching, Jesus then asked Peter to take the boat out into the deep water. It's in this moment where Peter takes the boat into the deep water where Jesus teaches Peter a valuable lesson about how the best is yet to come. It's in their time together on this boat in the deep water where Jesus challenges Peter to have faith. So you read chapter 4, Jesus tells Peter to let down his nets. So he's in position to catch what's going to come his way. But what I find interesting about this story is that while Peter is interested in the words of Jesus, the Bible informs us that he has some reservations about doing what has been asked of him. Have you been there before? When God has called you and asked you, hey, step out on faith, but yet you say, Lord, I don't know. Peter says to Jesus, I have been out here all day and night, and I haven't caught a thing. I've been out here on these seas trying to figure it out, but I haven't made no money today. So Peter's reaction is very typical of us. You really want me to do this, Jesus? To cast my net out after I've been out on these seas all day? Peter lacks faith. He does not believe that he's going to catch anything. And the reason he doesn't believe is because he understands and has he has what we call expert knowledge of the sea. He's very knowledgeable of that terrain. He's very knowledgeable about being in that water. He had just left the water. But yet, in that moment, Christ is calling him, Peter, cast out your nets. Even though I've been out here fishing all day, Peter, cast out your nets. Even though I've been trying, I tried hard, I worked for several hours, and nothing happened, Peter, cast out your net now. And I believe that every now and then God places us in those circumstances to go against conventional wisdom. Where God, I've been trying, do it again. Cast out your net. And so God challenges Peter, Jesus challenges Peter to cast out his nets. Peter's is hesitant because he's experienced failure. And how often have we allowed failure to determine our next movement? How often have we let failure impact our current condition? Peter is a subject matter expert. He's an expert fisherman. But yet in this moment, he allows his failure to temporarily hinder him from stepping out on faith. And I believe that God is calling us to let go. To let go of failure. To let go of what we think we know. And trust that God will make a way for you and I. And I believe that God is calling this church to go beyond what you think you know. To step out into that deep water and cast your nets down. Churches, we know it has changed. We've been talking about this for several years. The last year in particular, we've been talking about this in class, how the pandemic and everything has shifted the way we do church. So I believe that God is calling Hosanna in this hour. God's calling all of us in this hour to forego what we think we know and cast our nets deeper. Because when we cast our nets deeper, there's no telling what we'll catch. And that's what we see in the story. Peter has to make a decision that will impact his future. He can either trust his knowledge of the sea, refuse to cast his net, and go home with nothing. Or he can step out on faith, take a chance, and trust in the words of Jesus. So what I like about the story is that while Jesus gives Peter instructions, Jesus does not force Peter to respond. And I believe the way Jesus deals with Peter is the way Jesus deals with us. Puts us in a situation, but then we are challenged to make a decision to either step out on faith or not. I learned this lesson with my oldest daughter. She was a young, about 9, 10 months, 11 months, learning how to walk. And you know when babies are learning how to walk, they fall. So one day she was was struggling and she started walking. And bam, she hit the ground, crying. And as naturally as a father, as a parent, you run over, you console her, you pick her up. She cried and cried and cried. And so as a parent, my instinct was to console her, to hold her. But I understood that I would have to put her back down. And I struggled because I didn't want to hear her cry the way she cried. But yet I knew that for her to grow, are you all with me? For her to grow and to walk on her own, I could not hold her forever. So I had to put her down and let her walk and figure out how to do it on her own. And I believe that's the way Christ deals with us. Look, Christ puts us in a situation and we may fall, but we have to get back up and try again. There is a risk of failure for Peter by casting out his net. He may not get the desired outcome. But what does Peter make? What does Peter do? He says, I'll do it because you say so. And we have to get to that point in our journey where we say, you know what, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work, but because you say so, I will let down my net. And so Peter lets down his nets. And I believe God's looking for some people who are just willing to step out on faith because Christ commands it and says, I'll do it because you say so. When Peter cast out his net, he receives more than he's prepared to handle. I like that right there. Amen. See, when Peter launches out in faith, he receives so much that he's not prepared for the catch that he receives. I find that interesting that despite being a career fisherman, the Bible is very clear that he was not prepared to catch this abundance of fish that came his way. Why is that? Why is that? The problem with Peter is that he didn't have high expectations. He prepared small. And so when the big catch came his way, he could not handle the weight that came with it. When we're walking with Christ, we have to have high expectations. I don't mean we live in fantasy land, no. But what I mean is that we ought to trust that God's going to do something that's going to blow our minds. Peter's not prepared. Are we prepared to truly handle the blessings of God? Are we truly prepared to handle the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon this place? Our hearts, are they prepared? Is Hosanna prepared for what God's going to do? The outpouring is going to come this way. Are we prepared? What I appreciate about the story, though, is that despite Peter not being adequately prepared to handle all the fish he caught, he could be a blessing to someone else. And so what does Peter do? He calls his friends, James and John, to help him carry the load. And even with their help, they are almost drowned carrying the fish. Let me stop right there. I come to learn that God's blessings are to be shared in community with others. Peter, despite not being able to handle it, he has so much that he has to share it with everyone else. And even when he shares it with his friends, they struggle. Our journey is about community. Peter shares what he's been given. He shares his blessings with others. We cannot keep what God has given us to ourselves. But then Peter does something I find very interesting. Is that while all this is going on, he sees all this fish. They're struggling trying to handle bringing the fish into their boats. They're drowning in the process. But when Peter sees what Jesus does, it brings him to a place of what I call self-reflection. Peter gets so caught up in the power of Jesus that while everyone else is struggling with the fish, we find Peter engaging in confession. What does he say? He says, "Lord, I am a sinful man." He begins to confess his sins. And when we have a true encounter with the Christ, it brings us to a place where we have no choice but to confess who we truly are. Peter doesn't hide behind his image as a fisherman. Peter says, look, I'm a sinful man. I got some problems with me. I got some issues. When we come face to face with Christ, we will see ourselves for who we truly are. That we're not perfect. We're broken. Sinful. We are able to be vulnerable before Christ. But what I love about Jesus is that Jesus does not judge Peter or condemn Peter. Hallelujah. He does not confirm Peter's sinfulness. Now, Peter has confessed his sins. Jesus doesn't say, true, you are a sinful person. He doesn't do that. Amen. He didn't say, yes, you are a low-down scoundrel. He doesn't do that. But what does Jesus do? What does Jesus do? Now I'm almost out of clothes here. What does Jesus do? He responds to Peter's confession with an invitation. By extending an invitation, Jesus is saying to Peter, you think you've seen something yet? Peter, I know you're impressed with this fish. I know what you saw just blew your mind. I know, Peter. I know that this fish will change your life forever. Peter, I made you a rich man. You can expand your business, Peter. But Peter, you haven't seen anything yet. If you follow me, the best is yet to come. I will make you fishers of men. Peter, I know you're impressed with this fish. I know you are. But if you follow me, you'll catch more than some fish. If you follow me, you'll catch souls. You'll bring souls. Because the best is yet to come. So as I close, Jose, what I love about this story, something fascinating happens, Tony, is that once Peter, James, and John are able to get their boats to shore, their lives are completely changed forever. They are now rich men. Once they sell their fish, they can have enough money for retirement and take care of their families. Their 401k is looking good. They can make some investments in property. And they can go and live out the rest of their lives without worry, financially stable. But the Bible tells us they did something strange. Something strange happens. When they get back to shores, they almost drown, bringing all this fish. The Bible says this, they leave everything behind. Oh my goodness. And follow Jesus. So after catching this life-changing haul of fish, they leave it on the shores to follow Jesus. Because they saw for themselves that if Jesus could do this, then surely the best is yet to come. Because they gave their lives to Jesus, they followed him in an hour. They decided in that moment to live resurrection. They decided in an hour that they're going to follow Jesus. And so I come to Hosanna today to encourage a few of you here to keep the faith. Keep on believing. Keep praying. Keep hoping. Keep trusting. Cast out your nets in faith. We're not talking about wishful thinking. In faith. Do the homework. You have to do the work. That Tony and John taught. You have to do the work. You do your preparation. But then when you've done everything else, you cast out your net. And you go beyond what you, your limitations. You go beyond what you know. And you cast a wider net. Cast your net into the deep water. And who knows what you'll catch in the process. It's because Peter, James, and John, Peter in particular, because he cast his net in faith, James and John was able to come. And those three were part of a new movement. The shifted Judaism. They were a part of a movement where laws were not important. But through Christ, a new law was established in love. And so it was through these three men in relationship to Christ that changed the world. And so, now, in my tradition, we have something called spiritual imagination, where it's not in the text. Yes. Amen. It's not written. Amen. But I'm going to eisegete a little bit and have a little fun. I believe that as Peter, James, and John left to follow Jesus, they sang a song. I can hear them singing, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. They leave everything behind and they follow Jesus. Because the best is yet to come. God bless you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share this message, that the best is yet to come. God, I thank you for this church called Hosanna, that as you challenge them and move them into that deep place where they are now challenged to cast out their net. Lord, I pray that you would send them a blessing that will rock their world, that will impact them forever. And that this group of believers here assembled today and online will bring others to you. So I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen this congregation, that you would guide them, that you would restore them, that you would heal them, that you would bless their pastors, their leadership, that you would continuously anoint them. I pray for those who are hurting, who have suffered, who are grieving, that you would comfort them, Lord. I pray, God, that the vision that is being cultivated in this church will impact many, and that you will be glorified through all their efforts, that whatever they do in word and deed, that you will be pleased. So I pray, Lord, for every person who's associated with this church, that you will help them cast out their nets and become fishers of souls. Help them to grow this church beyond the limitations of Lancaster, PA, but to be a global presence because of their commitment to you. We thank you for them today. We thank you for what you're about to do. And we trust in faith that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance and give you peace today, tomorrow, and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.